What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Mac Effect. Your host here, Mike, like always, thanking you guys for tuning in and showing love to the channel, showing love to the podcast. Like always, I'm praying and I'm asking God, guide me what interviews, what stories, what conversations to have. And in this particular season, it's just beautiful to rekindle certain relationships. And I don't plan the seasons, guys. It's just really based off of what God wants me to do. And a couple interviews that I've had already, I'm like, wait, these are like a blast from the past. And it's pretty dope because even with certain friendships that you guys may have, you don't know all the details behind their life or their story. And it's just really cool to eventually know these things. At least for me, it is. And there's room for growth, right? That's one of the things that we always do. So with that being said, guys, it is my pleasure, my honor to bring a really great interview for you guys. A old friend, a old, I used to be her worship leader at our church. But it is my pleasure, my honor to bring to you guys a friend of mine, Genesis.
Thank you for having
Genesis,
me.
Genesis, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Well, one of the reasons why I wanted to bring you on board is because not only are you a past friendship, but we kind of grew up, like I saw you growing up, you know, and I think you saw me growing up too, but
in a different phase.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And more than anything, like I ended up realizing, like, I don't really know you. Like, I know you, I know of you, mm-hmm. but I don't know you, you.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've seen you grown. I've seen your life go from, you know, a little girl to a woman to a wife to a mother. Mm-hmm. It's like it's evolving. But the reason why I wanted to bring you is because now I myself, I'm a little bit curious as far as like, how is Genesis doing now? And before I go into that question, actually, I want to know a little bit more about you. So, Genesis, if you don't mind sharing with me, you know, how was your upbringing? Like, where does Genesis, you know, where does she grow up? Where's her hood?
Yeah. So my hood is Southgate. It's not so much a hood because it's definitely been gentrified. It's very nice. There's a Nike store across from my mom's by Compton. But yes, I grew up, lived in, my mom is still in the same house. So that is a huge blessing. Now I realize as I meet more people and being at this young age of 31, that having a childhood home it can be rare.
Yeah.
So I'm very appreciative of that. Grew up in Southgate, I'm the middle of two sisters. My mom was a single mom, grew up very much looking back from what felt like a poverty mindset, like we didn't have money, first generation. I was the first to go to college, the first to go to grad school. Wow. I have my master's degree and just recently got licensed as a marriage and family therapist. Okay. I was just a little girl, just, you know, I was in band, very much a nerd. I really enjoyed school. To summarize, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, see, and when you said sibling, it's only three of you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, yes, I do have siblings from my dad's side.
Okay.
But the ones that I grew up with are my two sisters.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, to dig a little deeper in that, just to know the context of who you are and your family, I didn't know that. Well, I mean, I knew you had three sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a relationship with your dad? Is your dad alive? Like, I'm really... don't know.
Yeah, that's a very interesting story. And I'm very, so with my own clients, I work with teen girls as well as adults. I do like to, what we call as therapists is self-disclosure. And sometimes I do like to use that part of my testimony as like, hey, like I was a girl with daddy issues, you know. Mm. But to speak on that, yes, my dad is still alive. We don't have a relationship right now. We are cool, I guess. Like we can be in the same room. I've worked through a lot of my resentment with him, but he wasn't really present. Mm. And it's really interesting to even think back that he wasn't present, but he always lived down the street from us.
Mm.
So he was in the same city, sometimes a couple of blocks away from us. Mm-hmm. So it's really like such a confusing feeling as now as a woman, I've been able to make sense of that. But as a little girl, it was like, wait, my dad lives right here and like I never see him and we live so close by. Mm-hmm. I don't hear from him.
And I didn't know that. See, so those are things for me. I'm like, that's interesting because I like to be a dad that's very present, but I don't know. Like, I'm trying to awake this thing from men. Like, hey guys, you know, we gotta grow up. We have to own our actions, but we also have to start understanding that there is a emotional intelligence that we need to awaken. Like, men tend to react out of anger, but anger is a secondary emotion. It's you're covering the fear of something. You're covering the lack of something. You don't have confidence in this. This yeah. area disappointed you, whatever, right? But we lash it out in anger because that's the way you protect it. And as I'm hearing you kind of speak, it's like I'm asking God too, and I'm like praying, and I'm like, man, it's crazy. You know, you said you're 31 and I'm 39. And I'm like, it's crazy. Like, I know I'm going to definitely be able to learn more from you because you're obviously in a field where I genuinely am intrigued. Mm-hmm. The inner healing, the figuring things out, because I've gone through healing. I'm going through healing where when you heal internally, you not only make yourself better, but even the people around you, you can help as well in getting better. Is that kind of a reason that pushed you into the career that you're kind of in?
Yeah. And I will say that God was a part of that process. Like, I'm very grateful for that foundation.
Yeah.
Because I think in spirituality and church or just a relationship with God really has you like looking inward.
Yeah, correct.
And so that was something that being in church helped me, like, it just, I was more inclined, like, I liked doing that, like, inner healing, that talking to God, the, like, what needs to be fixed, what needs to be corrected. And so that was something that pushed me. There was a lot of also, I grew up with, there was a lot of trauma. There was a lot of things that I saw as a little girl that I do feel blessed that, like, oh, I feel like it almost, like, escaped me, or, like, it, like, my older sister went through this stuff. And it did it, and I mostly like yeah. observed it, but yeah. I didn't directly experience it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And being in that, and we actually were, when I was 16, me and my little sister and my mom, we all went to therapy, and we all went to like family therapy. And there was something that the therapist said that I think that really hit me, where she asked me a question about my mom, and I was like, oh, I never thought about that. And it really changed, and it was so small that
you
I
don't
think
remember
that
the
was.
Question?
It, yeah, so the question was, she asked me, she was like, when was the last time that you hugged your mom? Mm. Or like that you told her you loved her, mm-hmm. or she told you? And I was like, I didn't have an answer. I was like, when was the last time I hugged my mom? Like, and it was just a question that 16-year-old me, now I can understand and like put it all together. But at that time I was like, whoa, it really just had me stop in my tracks and like think. And I think that's what the seed that was planted, to be able to, I guess, impart some of that wisdom just from being an outside observer, mm-hmm. and just help people increase their own, like, see themselves more and then improve their relationships. From
yeah. them. On that note that you're mentioning, you know, going to the therapist, you know, getting that question asked about, you know, when's the last time you hugged your mom? Which to me, those are the amazing moments, because I think something has to spark something. Like, I think when you start asking questions, I'm in a stage in my life where I think asking questions is the best thing that you can do. Because when you do, you really start discovering things. Now, that's why I'm doing the Mac Effect. I ask questions. And one of the questions I have for you is, you know, being a therapist, you obviously are helping others. Is there something inside of you that you're like, hey, I kind of realized there was things that I needed to heal. I was broken. Now I want to kind of extend that to others.
Yeah. I feel like not even, like, I did work through a lot of, like, I don't need to be healed or perfect in order to help other people.
Mm-hmm.
That was a thing for a very yeah. long time, especially right. when your whole job title is, you know, a common misconception is, like, you're a therapist. You should have it together. Like, you should know what to do.
Yeah.
But when you're interacting and you're knowing all of your stuff, you're looking at your ugly parts, that can be very hard to do. You know, yeah, like, yeah. let me just regulate my emotions, especially when you're not taught how to do that.
Yeah.
I do feel like I've always had a heart and felt for people very deeply and understood. And maybe it's the effect of being a middle child, that you just are in this place of just observing and taking things in and I didn't speak up very often. I was a very quiet person, very shy. And so I just always understood. And I do feel like that's a gift that God has given me, to be able to understand where people are coming from, to empathize with them, yeah. to understand the emotions. Mm-hmm. And when I was a teenager, I would like do a lot of journaling. I would do a lot of like feeling my feelings. And I do feel like that gave me an extra, like, I can understand the hurt that's going on here.
Yeah.
So I feel like, yeah, it was always something ingrained in me. I do feel like I'm on the path that I'm supposed to be on.
Do you feel, okay, let me just ask questions by questions and then see, you know, if it leads to something or where I'm trying to get to. Mm-hmm. Have you done internal healing?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Of multiple things?
Yes.
Okay.
Like when you say multiple things, are you saying like dad,
daddy mom, issues, mom issues, yeah. siblings,
yeah, sister,
the church,
romantic partner,
the church, drama that happened as well. Like many things that would, you know, so many healings.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My self-confidence, speaking up,
lack of self-love.
Yeah. Why do I feel like I'm not worthy? Mm. Do I feel like I'm not deserving of good love? Also, am I not meant for relationships? Mm. Is there something wrong with me?
Wow.
All of that.
No, you know why I like that you're bringing those up is because that's exactly why I wanted to make this interview, because I know there's people watching, there's people listening, and I'm sure you've gone through it helping other people. It's like, people ask themselves this question all the time, and it breaks my heart, because one of the questions that hurts, at least me, and I know God has given me the spirit to intercede for people, it's, am I enough? Am I good enough? Mm-hmm. That's the one that hits home, because I've asked myself that question. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to say, you know what? Like, that's a scary question to ask, because you're going to step into, you're going to open up things in your heart that are going to make you feel ugly, that are going to make you feel insecure. But you have to touch these things, because that's where also forgiveness and healing and grace can come in and really give you, build you. And it's crazy. Like, it's a whole process, but it's going to build your confidence back up. Because I can see a totally different Genesis right now. Mm-hmm. And I haven't talked to you in a while, right? But, and we would only see each other in parties or what have you, like, yeah,
very briefly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was like, you know, seeing you right now, you know, do you remember the younger Genesis, the decisions that you used to make when you were younger, you know, now that you've gone through healing, mm-hmm. do you kind of look back and be like, man, those decisions were made out of such a broken place?
Yeah. Like they were made out of a lack of love.
Mm-hmm. Most of them,
where it's like kind of like lack mindset, like I'm just gonna take whatever I can get,
yeah,
and this whatever I'm being given is more than I've had before, so it feels good enough, even though it wasn't healthy. Mm-hmm. Or even though it wasn't also like self-compassion of like I was a teenager, I didn't know any better, I really did not, no one had taught me what healthy love was. So I definitely like, yeah, like I can see the difference and I can feel it, because now I feel internally worthy and deserving. And it's like, whoa, Jen, like you've always been amazing. And maybe other people did see it. Maybe they didn't. But at the end of the day, that was just the truth.
Yeah.
There was nothing extra that I needed to do.
So good. And I think that comes, and I've shared this in the past episodes, guys, it comes with healing. When you heal, you really start understanding the areas that, you know, you lack. I believe lack of self-love is one of the biggest ones. I didn't mean it right now when I said, you know, in many situations, like just for you. I meant it in general for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I see many marriages that are married till today, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years. There's a lot of lack of self-love that, yeah, they're still married, but it's not a marriage that is fruitful, right? So don't be fooled by what you see. It's really what the work that you do behind scenes that really can break you free from discovering who you really are.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to, loving yourself and being there for you. You know, for me, I know we live in a world right now where the world tries to take your eyes away from God.
Destruction. Yeah.
And you make yourself like we're falling in love with self. Mm-hmm. You know, when you start loving yourself, you're like stepping into a danger zone where that can happen. Mm-hmm. You know, do you find yourself like, are you aware of that? Or is that something that you are like, you know what, I guess I will fall when I get there? Or in the healing that you're going through, like, is there something that like you worry about for yourself, or, you know, to not hurt others as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Let me see if I can. I think I'm getting what you're putting down.
Yeah. I think I kind of blurred a lot right there, but I, you know, if you don't, then I can kind of re-ask the question.
I'm hearing, like, I guess what I'm understanding is, like, now knowing, having more self-love, is the experience different? Do I go into relationships the same?
Yes.
Is that okay? Yes. I think when there is a level, so you like to build self-love, you need healing. Mm-hmm. Healing is looking at the ugly. Like, you have to, like, the example that I like to tell my clients and how I think about it is, you know, you could clean the carpet good, but to really clean the room, you have to move some furniture and get the corners. And that's the healing part. There's parts of ourselves that it's like too scary. Like, I don't want to look at why I feel like I was abandoned by my dad. I don't want to look at why this person hurt me or why my friendships have failed.
Yeah.
But when we do see that, we can see in its entirety, like, what was it that happened? Like, what is the truth of that? And the truth is maybe my dad was never ready to, maybe it was his own insecurities and not me. And so I do feel like with healing comes, like, you have to look at that stuff in order to really, like, really understand yourself. And that builds self-awareness. And I feel like the self-awareness, like, there is still that fear when I go into, like, friendships or when I meet people or whatever it is of, like, oh, like, are they going to screw me over? Do I know? Do I trust myself enough to, like, am I missing any red flags? That I think that's always going to be there. I think the difference is now you'll know yourself better. Like, I feel like I know myself and I know what I want. I know what I don't want. I know what makes me feel good and what doesn't make me feel good.
Mm-hmm. I get it. I understand. Mm-hmm. Because of your emotional intelligence, now you understand what is causing you to react this way or mm-hmm. react that way, or why did that bother me? But wait, that doesn't offend me anymore because mm-hmm. I know that I'm enough now and, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
I say it because I go through that as well. Like, there's moments where I'm like, what I'm living now, I'm just like, wow, dude, like, I'm not handling it like a champ, but I'm not handling it like a chump either, the way mm-hmm. I used to, you know? So it's a work in progress. I liked earlier that you shared, you were very open and honest, and you said, I thought that I had to have it all together before I started this profession. Mm-hmm. I love it because I think that implies for everything almost. You know, you don't have to be ready to get married. You don't have to be ready to start a podcast. Mm-hmm. I've shared this in the past. I was fearful. I had very little equipment, very little knowledge. I didn't know what I was doing, but God told me to just do it. And I'm like, I'm going to mess it up. I don't even know how to edit stuff. But it's very important to take a step, even when you don't have it all together, because we're never going to have it perfect. Yeah. We're never going to have it perfect. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is embedded in us, that we have to have things perfect in order to finally be able to serve at church, in order to finally be able to start that business or start that business idea? Like, where does that come from?
Yeah. So that's... That's because our critical voice, the criticism, wherever that came from, that could have been dad, that could have been all of the, like, that is always going to be the loudest. Mm. And a part of that is, like, if I bring psychology into it and, like, you know, we...
Do it. That's what I'm asking.
So our mammalian brain, our brain is wired to keep us safe. And safety is now more social than it is like physical. We're not like out in the wilderness. So our brain is wired to notice negative things in order to protect us. Mm-hmm. That's why self-criticism, that's why our critical voice is loud. So starting a podcast, starting a new job, our brain is, our thoughts are going to be, and our thoughts are not real. Our thoughts are not facts and neither are feelings. Feelings are valid, but they're not true. They're passing.
I'm taking notes if I'm you guys.
Yeah.
Thoughts are not real and feelings are not
facts.
Facts. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Feelings are a state and they give us information about what's going on. Thoughts are like, we all have thousands of thoughts that go through our mind. It's whatever thoughts we pay attention to that we decide to like follow. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we could follow the thoughts that are negative because maybe we're used to it. And something else that I want to say before I forget is I think it's not just like starting a podcast. I think also, or like doing those things that fear, I think fear is also what stops us from being better people. Because maybe some of the thoughts or stories that we tell ourselves is I'm not going to be good enough, or I'm not better than what I've been doing or how I've been. And that's why we sometimes fall into those same patterns, because it's like, well, this is what I know what to do. Like I usually know how to be a mess up, or I know failed relationships. So often too, it scares us to actually be in the good. It's like, this isn't going to last. Like, when is this shoe going to drop? Mm. Also because
causes, I think right now, kind of adding to what you're saying, and I don't know a lot of the terminology when it comes to what you're like, mm-hmm. the specific high tech words that you have, but, like, I just see that, and because I've gone through a healing, I've seen it, Genesis. I've seen it where, like, what you're sharing right now, what you just said, does that also bring an effect in people where they kind of almost sabotage the relationships that they're in as well? Because they're like, this is too good to be true, and at some point, you have to just find a way to make it go to crap, because then your body's like, this is what I'm used to. Like, I knew this was going to happen sooner or later. When in reality, it's like, no, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm, I don't know if I'm.
No, you hit it. Because that was actually the next word, like self-sabotage.
Wow.
We self-sabotage when we feel like we deserve suffering. When we feel like we deserve to continue to be in suffering. Which is why you're in a healthy relationship and things are going good. And your brain's like, whoa, this is not what I'm used to. Like, I need I'm going to, you know, operate out of fear because I'm nervous about this.
Yeah.
And operating out of love, this is also something I'm working on because this is so tough. Operating out of love is like, I love myself to accept that this is good. I love myself now to know I'm deserving of better. And that is where, like, that's why you gotta dig deep and like, oh, really look at that part. Like, what part of me feels like I don't deserve to be loved?
Would you say self-love is like the area that was crucial for you, or no?
I feel like it does come down to also really working on self-compassion. Because the compassion part is, you know, when you do, you're going to make mistakes moving forward. And the compassion part comes in like, oh, like I made this mistake. I'm going to hold myself accountable and I'm not going to be too hard on myself. Because when we're too hard on ourselves, then we continue to shame ourselves back into, well, I don't even deserve to be any better. So I'm just going to stay in like, oh, I was horrible. Yeah. I did wrong.
Well, as you're healing yourself, as, you know, time goes on, right? You're healing. It's natural that if something goes bad, your mind wants to go back to its default setting. Mm-hmm. We like to go back to what makes us comfortable, what makes us, what we're used to. But that's why it's so important when you're healing to having that mercy that you said, you know, like, hey, I made this mistake. I did fall back to my default setting that one time. It doesn't mean I'm going to continue in it and stuff like that. So this is good. This is a lot of good stuff that you're sharing with us, and I really appreciate it. And it's funny because it's like, I don't do it on purpose, but even in previous episodes, Jen, like, I'm speaking with my counselor, with my mentor, we're bringing emotional intelligence up. Like, these are conversations that are just organically happening because I just, I want to bring this awareness. Like, I want people to get to a place where it's like, you know what? Yeah, I'm broken, but it's okay that I'm broken. I love myself for it, and I'm not going to keep settling anymore. You know, like, I want to bring that healing to people. And if that also eventually brings them to Christ, and for me, heck yeah, dude, I want people to come to Christ.
Yeah.
What was, like, one of the biggest impacts in your personal healing journey, if you can share, like, if that you could remember vividly, like, man, this is what brought healing to me in this, like, when I did this or whatever, but if you can share.
Yeah. So earlier you mentioned you introduced me as a wife. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to clear that up. I was engaged, to,
sorry guys,
no, never got married. I actually broke up the engagement. And that was actually a very pivotal moment for me, 'cause that was a really important relationship for me, a very healing relationship. And it also took a lot of strength to walk away for my daughter, for, like, it is its own experience in itself when, like, the relationship isn't, like, it was good. We were great friends. But for me, I just needed to choose my daughter, and I needed to choose her emotional well-being, her stability over my comfort. Because it was a comfortable relationship for me. And I also had to be honest with myself, like, it's comfortable, but is it what I want? Is it what's pushing me to grow as a person, as my own individual? And so I will say, without going into too many details, that was definitely a low for me. It was my hardest.
Wow. Were you already working in the field that you were in?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this relationship was, I guess, for lack of a better term, falling apart while I was still, and those two things always stay separate. Like, I am able to maintain my professionalism and, like, not bring in, you know, whatever's going on. I do find that there are seasons of my life that match up with, like, oh, my client's going through this, I'm feeling these emotions, and it helps me guide them. But it was also a big lesson to me too, as, you know, going back to what I said earlier, where I didn't need to be healed or perfect in order to be helping my clients, because they were like, you're such a great therapist, like, stay with me forever. But it definitely had me, like, that was where I was my most broken and my most, like not myself, feeling like at my worst, my most toxic, I guess. Everything came up. All of my insecurities, all of, like, my wrongs, it really did push me. And I do believe that sometimes people need to be at their lowest to like, 'cause it's so cheesy, but it's like the only thing now that you can do is just rehabilitate yourself. That's my new motto. It's like, I do believe that we can rehabilitate our character and who we are, like rehab on our heart. But yeah, I would say that was the hardest relationship. And I feel, and now looking back, even though it was hard, I had to literally just take step by step. Like, I don't know where this is going to be. I don't know if this is the best decision, but I know that, like, this is the decision that feels, instead of bringing me down, it feels like when I do walk away slowly, I can feel myself, like, being able to breathe again, being able to, like, I don't know, like, hear myself. And
yeah. And I would like to go into details to understand a little bit more, but I'm going to respect and understand that it's like, maybe it's just not the time, or because of your professional as well, your work, you know, we can't, and it's totally fine. But
is there a specific question? Sorry, my curiosity. is there a specific question?
Maybe for me, there's two things I want to say before I answer your question. It's one, that I'm very sorry that you were going through that. You know, I admire a lot of people, Jen, that although their heart is broken and in pieces, they continue to show up to work. They continue to be a mom. They continue to do life, because I'm still not learning how to love myself correctly. I used to be someone that would want to cower his way and just stay in bed. Mm-hmm. But God has been telling me, nope, you are, although you feel like crap, you're going to show up. And I want to say I'm sorry for that moment in your life that you're going through. But it gives courage to a lot of viewers and listeners. And I hope you guys can understand that you guys are not alone, that you guys can reach out. You know, I'm going to share her information, my information, even if it's not with us directly, if it's finding resources for you guys, that's the goal. But we are not alone. I think that's a lie that the enemy definitely puts in our heads. But then number two, it's I always ask myself, like, God, why is it in a relationship? Like, why is it relationships that, you know, you have mommy issues, daddy issues, but what brought you to your lowest point was a relationship with another person. Mm-hmm. And the curiosity that you're asking is I kind of want to know, like, you know, what was wrong? Like, what? You know, from the outside looking in, it looked good. It looked fine. It looked, you guys were progressing. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with the guy, like, you know, but like I said, you don't have to. It's just some stuff, you know, God teaches you. It's none of your business. And we just pray. If you genuinely feel the urge of knowing certain details, sometimes it's not about knowing the details. It's God tells you to pray for those people, because believe it or not, Jen, I prayed for you. I prayed for him. I prayed for your sister. I prayed for her husband, if she was married or not married, or because I'm learning these things, right? But because I'm an interceder, like God has me interceding for people, and it's just it's hard, man. Like it's I hate heartbreak, man. It really makes me sad. But at the end of the day, there's nowhere else to go once you're there but up. So now it's time to get up. Son los golpes de la vida that we get. And we did something wrong, or we didn't obey God, or we looked at ourselves only, whatever the case is, but we shake it off and now we have to just learn and deal with it.
Yeah. And to briefly answer the question, you know, there was nothing wrong with him. He's a great guy. He's a great dad. A lot of that was my own lack of healing, a lot of stuff I didn't realize. So I will take accountability that a lot of that relationship didn't grow. Also, right, it takes two to tango. There's two people in that relationship, but I'm going to take accountability for my part. A lot of my stuff came up and was kind of projected and vice versa. And it's harder in relationships because we think that being single is hard, because I think the world likes to tell us, like, you have to be with someone in order for you to be worthy of something. But it's actually harder when you're in a relationship, because now there's a whole other person that is reflecting back to you parts that maybe you haven't fully healed from. When you're single, like, no one is triggering you. When you're with someone, they're triggering things that, like, you didn't know were there. Maybe you did know some stuff was there.
Yeah.
Like, they hit points that, and it's, like, I don't know if anyone has heard the term, like, when someone holds the mirror up to you.
Yeah.
They're literally holding the mirror. Right. And so I will say that it was a big chunk of that was I came in with a lot of unhealed stuff.
Yeah, of course.
It was a very codependent relationship, which is, you know, now being out of it, I've learned independence. Mm-hmm. And how to be there for myself, where before I was seeking the lack of love, I was seeking that love to be filled, and realizing, whoa, 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 all this stuff came up because I'm not giving, like, I don't have this love myself. Like, another person can't fulfill me.
Yeah.
I can do that for myself.
You thought at first he was, and then you ended up realizing, why am I still, like, thirsty? Like, why do I still yearn for it? And I thought I had it, because I believe that's where God is showing us. It's like you have to not look for it outward. You have to have that love inward, because then you don't depend it on someone else, which I'm guilty of it too.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up not to go too deep into my stuff, but same daddy issues, mommy issues, lack of confidence. You would think growing up at church, that guy had confidence, and it was like, it was a show.
It was a facade. Yeah. Yeah, not saying that it was for you, but for me it was. Like, it definitely was, like,
no, échame a mí
también.
I thought
I was confident.
Tírame.
And then I'm throwing it back at you. And then realizing, whoa, like, maybe this confidence that I had was, like, always a false confidence, because it was based on the illusion of this is how I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. I love it. I love it. I don't know if to ask the question or not. You're going to say yes or no. Is there hope for said guy?
Oh, I don't know if I could answer that. Well, that's definitely a chapter for me that's closed. Having this time, I spent a lot of time in isolation, like in like my little hermit mode. Just spending time with myself, really like processing a lot of stuff and realizing that. Also, this is something that my therapist helped me on was.
So you have a therapist too. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's awesome. I love it. I love it. Yeah,
and it helps me a lot to clear up my own stuff. But something that she really helped me on is, and the message of the week for me has been ambivalence. And ambivalence is when you're not sure. It's uncertainty. It's like, I don't know where I stand. I don't know, you know, and sometimes confusion. And I've heard before, right? Like the devil wants to confuse you. And confusion keeps you in a limbo state. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the best thing to do is just move one way, either move into the no or move into the yes. And so to answer that question, for me, it's just, I've just been moving towards my yes, like towards the direction that I keep moving. And also leaving it up, like at the end of the day, we don't know anything. So, you know,
things aren't certain. I felt it when you said, you know, no, or that chapter mm-hmm. is closed, mm-hmm. but I felt it spiritually, you know, it's like, yeah, well, that's, you know, that's our agenda. And then at the end of the day, you hit it at the very end where it's like, you know, whatever God decides, which is kind of scary too, because sometimes you're just like, really, God, like, really? But he will challenge you. And in speaking of that, when it comes to the Lord God, do you implement that in therapy as well? Or is that something that has to be, you know, what's that terminology they use? State and church or whatever, that it's just, it has to separate? Be separate.
Mm-hmm. I personally, I'm not a Christian counselor, because I don't practice Christianity. I do have clients that are Christian or, believe in God or have like spiritual practices
or different beliefs
or different beliefs. Yeah. So I incorporate it in whichever way. I do feel like at the end of the day, there's something bigger that connects us all. Whether you want to call that, some people call it, you know, different names. But I guess I am very like, I go based off of where my clients are mm-hmm. and I don't push a specific agenda.
Mm-hmm. You just opened up a whole new conversation for me because we grew up at a church. So you're mm-hmm. telling me, I don't want to be rude. Like I don't want to, but it's, I love having dialogue. I love mm-hmm. connecting. I love understanding. So Christianity is something you in your belief now, you just don't practice anymore.
Yeah, I don't practice Christianity. I do believe in God. I feel like some people like that know me from church are like confused. Like,
pues aquí estamos para aclararlo. Yeah. So very interested. I know you were mentioning right now, you know, you do believe in God. People mm-hmm. in church kind of think that you're like, no, yeah. I don't. But what happened in that path with Genesis?
Mm-hmm. I guess you could say that I feel like a big part of it was, you know, going to college, meeting a lot of different types of people practicing different religions, where the big question of like, how can this one thing be true? And this someone who grows up in a whole different way, doesn't know anything else, this other thing be true for them. I will say it's a lot of my open-mindedness. In my own spiritual journey, I have found that I need my own anchors. Like, I can't, like, believe in everything and, like, take in everyone's religion and be like, oh. However, I don't necessarily, for me, I guess the religious practice of, like, a church is what... doesn't feel like it fits for me. I don't believe that every church or every pastor is like this. I do, just when I went back, because I've tried going back to church And the feeling that I just get there and my own journey, and maybe this is, and I can only speak from my own experience. A couple other ones, I've tried a couple different ones because I did really like what always felt very true for me was worship and was like the connection to God. And like, there is a presence that moves there. And that's why I do believe in God. And I know that he is real. It was more so the way in which messages were shared. I feel like thinking back, I feel like I was in circles in church because it just goes back to like words like, you know, you're a sinner and like entry to heaven. And it gets into very specifics for me. And I did have to sort that stuff out. Like, I also did have to acknowledge, like, why do I feel hurt? Why do I feel triggered by, you know, the word God or when someone's inviting me to church? So that was stuff that I had to like be honest with myself to look at to get to where I'm at now. Yeah. Now I do feel comfortable. And I'm not like opposed to going to church. I do appreciate what it gives people and what it provides. And I feel like people need it. Also is like a structure for people. It is a community, a support that is helpful and beneficial.
Agree. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting.
I don't know if that answers your question.
No, it does. It does. It, you know, I know like right now as I'm speaking to you, I'm just like, okay, God, there's many things that goes through my mind, and I'm just going to share them because these are things that go through my mind. One, I know that the Christian community fails many people. They really offend and hurt many people. And even hearing your story, you know, you weren't married, you were engaged, but then you had your baby. My mind quickly goes to like, wait, like, didn't your Holy Spirit tell you shouldn't be doing that? But see, that's me judging. And then God brings it back to like, we need to love people, man. We need to love them. Like, don't make them feel bad for their mistakes. Mm-hmm. And I know in certain church environments that we grew up in, it was based off of your actions, whether you were holy or not. And I'm so glad that God teared all that down for me, because now I can care less what people think of my actions. I mean, I do. They matter, right? Like, your actions have to meet your words as well. But I can see how the church can hurt people. And especially when you have given them your love, You're going to be offended by loved ones. You're not going to be offended by a random person down the street saying you're a sinner because you had a baby outside of wedlock. Mm-hmm. That one's going to be like, you don't even know me, bro. Like, you have no idea. But if I were to say it, that would hit a little different. And if people from church were to say it and then you kind of hear it, and I know how church goes, you're not going to hear it directly from the person. Mm-hmm. Your mom's going to come and tell you, or someone else is going to be, hey, they said this about you. And you're going to be like, well, then why do I even want to go to that church? Or why do I believe in that religion if, look it, they're all hypocrites. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, we all are. Which is why we make Christianity look bad. And not just Christianity. All religions have people that make that religion look bad. And then you have the people that are truly devoted and truly trying to give back and what have you. At the end, it's about love for me. Love. If you know how to love through the mistakes, through the errors, through the ugliness, then you're definitely going to know how to love through the good times as well. Did you feel judged for that? Like, as I shared that right now with you, did anything that I say make you feel judged?
No.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
But did you feel judged, maybe not by me, by other people when you were going through?
Well, no, thankfully. I always have been surrounded by people who accept me.
Good.
Yes, I think there were some instances, but it was not anything crazy. But it's so interesting because you did mention, right, like that little fleeting thought of like, oh, she had a baby out of wedlock. And I think it, and you hit the nail on it where for me, a lot of what is, I guess, the way that we're taught to be Christian, it feels like it comes from a judgmental place. And we need judgment. Like, we do need, when we look, judgment itself is like, we're just, it's the balance of the scales. There's justice in it. We need to also, I think, accountability.
I would say more accountability than judgment.
Yeah.
But then again, maybe you're right. It's like just the word judgment sounds heavy. Yeah, but I don't
know. It sounds like negative.
Yeah.
But if just judgment in itself, right? You go to a judge, you present the facts, the evidence.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that there is a level of that where it gets muddy is where it's other people in your, like your loved ones, then putting that on you.
Their
and
judgment.
At the end of the day, people are going to want to do what they want to do. That's also like being a therapist. Like you can give your clients all the tools. You can lay it out for them. You can help them get to the conclusion. And they're still the ones in charge of their decisions.
Mm, so good.
Yeah.
So good.
And so even like having the baby out of wedlock, right? And I was just like, oh, I wasn't married. I just had this baby. At the end of the day, that was going to happen. Whether it was, not, whatever, it was a learning experience and it brought me to where I'm at now, you know? And and I don't know if I would know what I know now had I not gone through that. There was this other part of me that grew up differently, that understood myself better at a younger age, I think I would have done things differently being at the age that I'm at now. I was just telling my sister that before I was kind of like, I didn't really believe in the like moving in and marriage and all of that. And now I'm like, no, I do feel personally, I would like to be married and then moving in and then move in with the person. Because I understand now the commitment to the relationship, the commitment to that person and what that entails. But younger Jen would not, I was not even anywhere close to feeling that way. And so that's where I do feel like you got to also let people, at the end of the day, they're going to do what they want to do.
Yep.
And that's their lesson. That's a part of their own testimony.
Mm, they're part of their growth.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love it. Before I wrap it up, there's just a couple things that I want to ask that, you know, I love having conversations. And thank you, first of all, that you're being very open. You're sharing. I love it. I notice that we are creatures that we try to minimize. You know, you said, well, for me, it's I just had my daughter. The I don't want to say the true label, but it's not, because it's not a label. But the truth is, you had a baby out of wedlock. When you're basing it off of either Christian morals or culture morals that you're supposed to be married. Mm-hmm. Because I understand many people have had kids outside of marriage. It happens. It's not a normal that I believe should happen, but it does happen. And it doesn't matter whether I believe it or shouldn't believe it. I mean, it happens. But we try to minimize. And it's nothing wrong. Like, you even right now when we were saying the word judgment, it's like it's so negative. But when you bring it into a court of law, the court of law doesn't see it as a negative word. It sees it as we're trying to figure this out to balance the scales to make sure it is fair. Mm-hmm. Why do you think we do that? Why do you think we try to minimize? Like, I've noticed it in certain languages that I speak, like even in particular family instances, you know, I don't want
to. Is there a word that comes up?
I don't want to offend. It's just like I don't use the proper word, the proper words to describe a certain situation. I say like, oh, well, that's them. But that them is actually family, not, you know, but it's like, why do you think we do that?
Yeah. Because I think that we get a lot across in the presentation. I think that words also have an energy to them.
Mm-hmm.
They're very powerful. And so like specifically, because I'm going to catch myself, you said wedlock. To me, that was a very triggering word. That's just my own past, right? Like, and also though for you, it's like this is just a term of it. And I feel like we each have our own triggers around certain words that comes from our own experiences.
Correct.
What we heard, maybe our own judgment of that. Like, I've never perceived it as out of wedlock. You know, I never described it that way. And so I just feel like it's like, We also can pick up on cues that are nonverbal. We can pick up on, you know, things that people are saying, and sometimes we're hyper aware of it, sometimes we're not. But I also think that there is like an energy that we give off when we're like sharing certain things in certain ways.
It's I agree with everything you said. You know, we all have trigger words that maybe offends you or doesn't, that maybe offends me or it doesn't. Maybe there's a different word that offends me or triggers me. Nevertheless, it's the emotional intelligence to say, you know, look, I'll just question it. Did I do that? Okay, maybe I did. Am I saying it because that kind of hurts me a little bit? Maybe it does. But even though it does hurt me a little bit, it doesn't mean I'm an ugly person. It doesn't mean I am mean. It means I am a human being that made a mistake, and now I'm trying to learn from it. But guess what? What people can also say, mistake, has been one of the biggest blessings in my life. Which I want to enter now. How is motherhood for you? How has it been for you?
It's been good.
Yeah,
it's been really good.
What's your daughter's name and how old is she?
Her name is Mia. She's 4 years old. She was born 11/11/2020. I'm giving like social security. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes.
But I just love her birthday because it's like 11/11/2020. I don't know. I just feel so special. But maybe it's like every parent out there. I definitely feel like motherhood has ignited an inner strength. There's something about giving birth to a child and creating. And then like there is something very powerful in that I will say that a lot of my healing started when I became a mom. Mm-hmm. Because now, I mean, this is your generation. It does, for me, speaking specifically, it made me, force me to look at my own childhood in order to be a better mom for her.
So good. So good. What is something that you've learned through her that like it's just brought some healing for you?
I've learned how I am like my mom a lot. And so I've learned the top thing, emotional intelligence, my own emotional regulation, how to manage myself better, because I'm teaching her how to manage her emotions. So it's really pushed me to manage my own emotions.
Dude, yeah.
Where I'm like, I realize I have a little angry streak. I'm a little angry girl. And so it's also taught me how to be present and how to look at things from a kid's perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
How to just slow down, you know, how to be so open good. With her.
So good.
When I'm having a long day and she sees me crying a little bit, and she's like concerned, and I'm like, it's not you, mamas. Like, it's really just like going on. And then like being able to be comfortable showing that to her in a controlled way, in a managed way.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I do all of that. Like, I've experienced all of that with my children, especially my boys, Jordan in particular. I'm very, you know, guys, we're tempered, right? So quickly, you know, I would lose it in the beginnings. You know, when he was younger, I wouldn't know how to control myself. A little bit, I would, but nothing to the extent of now. And I've noticed that made him a little bit kind of like anxious, like when he gets upset. But now that I've kind of showed him like, hey, you know, when he sees like, oh, this would trigger him. And now he's like, wait, he's not. He's kind of calm. Mm-hmm. It's taught him too to be like, well, then I can be calm. And it's so important for us to do the healing and for us to pay that price so that our kids don't pay that price.
Yeah.
Like what I said in the top of the episode, when we heal, not only are we getting better for ourselves, but we're also improving the generations to come.
That's our legacy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And our kids are so attuned to us. Like when you think that they're not paying attention, they are, because we're their safe space. We're their first attachment. That's why, like, when we have issues in our relationships, it goes back to our parents because that's what we picked up from even before we could even conceptualize it.
Yeah.
That's why it is important, especially when they're young. And it's never too late too, if like a kid is older, to start doing that work.
Yeah.
The thing that matters more is not so much the conflict, but how the conflict is repaired. Mm. Kids and people always remember how you try to repair something, how you try to fix it over the situation.
Wow. God's talking to me. Wow. Don't charge me, bro. Just kidding. Yeah. That's good.
I'll send you the
invoice. What? it's been a few minutes already. Is there something in your heart that you kind of would want to touch before we wrap it up?
I guess, like, what I would want people to take is that you are always deserving of better and of healing. Like, healing is not for the person who is doing what they're supposed to do right. Like, even as much mistakes as you've made, as horrible of a person that you feel like you've been, you can always be better. And that is the mercy and the grace of life, you know, like you're breathing. And so that's your chance. Even the little steps, you don't have to make a full 180. But as long as you choose differently.
I agree with you. I shared it in many episodes, not just like in one specific one. I share it in so many previous episodes. Reach out. All you have to do, guys, is send an email. If that's all you can do, it's send that email, send that text, ask for help. Start asking the question, you know, why did I cry when I heard her say that? Why did I cry when I heard him say that? Why did it stir something up? Why did I get angry? You know, these are good questions. You reach out, you ask for help, and then we can be there. Jen, where can people reach you? And I'm going to add it on the screen for people to also follow you and all that. But where can people reach you if they do have more questions or they want to reach out to you for help as well?
Yeah. So on Instagram, I'm at Empowered with Jen. My website, empoweredwithjen.com.
Let's get it.
Yeah, on Instagram, you can find my Psychology Today profile. Okay. And that goes specifically for anyone looking for therapy into how I work with people, or if you just want to be connected to other resources.
Is there age group that you do, or it's kind of open?
I work primarily with women.
Okay.
I do have some male clients, but it just, you know, not my cup of tea. No offense, guys. but yeah, I work primarily with 18 to 35 year olds, but okay, really cool. Just open.
Nice.
Any person is
welcome. The information will be there, guys. Any question, comments, concerns, you can reach out to her. If you feel comfortable reaching out to me, men, since she don't want you, I'll take you guys. I'm just kidding. I've even said it in the past in the podcast. It's like I made this for men, for resources for men, but I don't want women to feel excluded either. Like if there's growth that's happening within them, or it gives you a perspective to understand your man better, then glory to God. The whole thing is to get better individually, and then hopefully that can make better the relationships that we're in as well. So I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. I hope we answered certain questions. If you have things for me, right there in the comments. If you have more questions for her, write it in the comments and we can get them over to her. But with that being said, guys, I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.